Our first lesson today from the book of Jeremiah offers a dramatic story of two prophets who are preaching radically different messages. In one commentary I consulted, this passage was described as a prophetic showdown, a showdown between the prophets Hananiah and Jeremiah. These two prophets are preaching radically different words to the people. Hananiah offers a message that is positive, that appeals to most people. Jeremiah has more difficult words for the people, and because of this, his proclamation is not popular. We know that this prophetic showdown takes place in July and August in the year 594 BCE. It's a time after the Babylonians have violently captured Jerusalem and taken many leaders into exile in Babylon. There's a remnant of the people left in Jerusalem, and they gather regularly in the temple, which is where this showdown takes place. These two prophets represent two sides of a very important question at the time. The question was, should the people rise up in revolt against the Babylonians? Envoys from neighboring nations also occupied by the Babylonians have come to Jerusalem to debate this question. Some perceive that there's a weakness in Babylonian power after a revolt of King Nebuchadnezzar's army. He's the king of Babylon. And they wonder if maybe this is the time that they could actually overthrow Babylon's occupation. The prophet Hananiah represents the side that believes that God is calling the people to rise up against the Babylonians. He's convinced their rule is almost finished. Their yoke will be broken. He prophesies that the vessels of the temple of the Lord that were carted off by the Babylonians will be returned to the temple soon. Within 2 years, Hananiah believes, the exiles will return home. After he makes this optimistic prophecy, Hananiah removes a yoke that Jeremiah wears around his neck, and he smashes it on the temple floor. This gesture dramatically illustrates the yoke of the Babylonians over the people of Judah being broken. Now this yoke that Hananiah smashes was made of wood by Jeremiah, and he wore it around his neck. Jeremiah was instructed by God to make this yoke and to wear it to symbolize the power of Babylon over the people. God tells Jeremiah that God has given all those lands into the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar. This is God's will, and it is part of God's purposes. And if any will not submit to the Babylonians' yoke, then God will punish them. God tells Jeremiah to ignore those prophets like Hananiah who say the people should revolt and cast off Babylon. God says this is a lie. God has not sent them, and they will not be successful. God calls the people to submit to Babylon until the time that God ends the captivity. Listening faithfully to God and proclaiming the word of God that comes to him, Jeremiah wears his yoke and calls the people to not listen to Hananiah. Though the message of Hananiah is exactly what the people want to hear, it is what they want to believe, Jeremiah tells them it is not of God. God is not ready for the hold of the Babylonians over the people to end. It will end, but not now. Jeremiah assures the people that history will show him to be correct, show that his word is from God, and that Hananiah's is not. Jeremiah understood that God is faithful and that God cares for God's people. But that does not mean terrible things don't happen. Though God is faithful, disasters still fall upon us. God never stops loving the people, even as they are overrun by the Babylonians and taken away to captivity. But though God loved them, though God cares for them, that awful thing still happened. So Jeremiah urges the people to not be taken in by those easy answers, nor to follow the lure of a positive and very appealing message. To not go after that message they prefer to hear, the message they find easy to accept, the message that accords with what they want. Instead, Jeremiah calls the people to repent, to turn back to God in all that they do. Jeremiah calls them to faithfully follow and worship God. They are to accept the Babylonian occupation and captivity for as long as it lasts. Jeremiah calls the people to accept the true word of God, though that word is less appealing and far more difficult. Jeremiah is speaking hard and very challenging words to the people. And his message was not a popular one. It was not one that they wanted to accept in the midst of that disheartening and challenging situation. No one wanted to hear the Babylonian captivity was an opportunity for the people to be transformed, so live into it, let it continue. They didn't want to hear was an opportunity to return to God with their whole hearts. They struggled to understand that God wanted to plant within them a new heart, a heart that loved God, that served God. And so Jeremiah was unpopular because of his difficult message. It was a proclamation the people didn't want to hear and sure didn't want to accept. And so most wouldn't listen to him. Some tried to kill him in order to silence him. But Jeremiah, though despairing at times, always remains faithful. He does the hard work that God has entrusted to him. Jeremiah calls the people to reject easy and simple answers, and instead to center themselves on God and on God's call to them. This ancient story of diametrically opposed prophets, I think, resonates in our day. We too can be tempted to accept easy answers, especially if those answers confirm what we already believe or what we want to hear. We don't like being told the difficult time we experience will continue and that we should accept it. Who wouldn't prefer Hananiah's upbeat and more positive message? But that's not how things work. It is not how God works. God does not necessarily call us to things that are easy or things that are pleasant. Though God loves us deeply, yet still terrible things happen. And God promises to be with us in those times. And this is very clear to us, I think, on this day, the last Sunday of June. For around the world, the pandemic continues. More than 125,000 people in this country have died from COVID-19. Now here in Rhode Island, thanks be to God, the coronavirus news is positive. The infection rate remains low. The number of those hospitalized is dropping. We are on the verge of entering phase 3 of the state's reopening. As a parish, we are developing plans for in-person outdoor worship in the future. But in 29 other states, the virus is surging. Cases are rising. Many hospitals are at capacity. The dangers of ignoring safety protocols are clear from what we see in other places. That is why I and this parish's leadership seek to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, even dwelling in the challenge and the complexity of this moment. We seek God's call to us as we strive to keep everyone safe in this dangerous time. But living this way is hard. It can be overwhelming. It can result in anxiety and stress. As your rector, I feel the weight of the decisions before us, of balancing safety with what we want and desire. After so many months of being apart, we long to gather in person. Staying home is wearing very thin for many of us. Regularly, I hear people longing to return to normal. But normal is not safe now. The life we knew before March 15th is not possible now. Like the people of Jeremiah's day, we are called to accept where we find ourselves, trusting that God is present and that God is at work even in the challenge and the frustration of this time. We're called to embrace the hard reality in which we find ourselves living. Jeremiah reminds us and proclaims to us that we are called to rest in God's faithfulness, to trust that God is with us always. Though life is not how we wish it were, God has not abandoned us. Jeremiah reminds us to trust that God will deliver us at the right time. And until then, we're called to remain focused on God, centered on God's will for us, finding the ways God calls us to live now, in this moment, finding how we are to respond to the present situation. Though his word may be hard to hear, Jeremiah invites us to be honest about our present reality, and then to ask, where is God found in it? Where is God at work even in the midst of this pandemic? How is God present to us now? What is the work to which God is calling us? How are we to follow Jesus in this new and strange landscape? How are we called to be the church, the household of God, in this time? Our gospel this morning offers the concluding verses from an account that began 2 weeks ago. Stretching over these three Sundays, this story shows Jesus first gazing out on the crowd that follows him and looking at them with compassion. He sees them as helpless and harassed, sheep without a shepherd to lead and guide and protect them. So Jesus gathers his 12 apostles and gives them authority to teach and to heal in his name, to be his compassionate and loving presence in the world with the people. Last week, in preparation for sending the 12 out, Jesus warned them that not everyone would welcome them. Some would oppose them. Some reject them. Others would even persecute and kill them. But Jesus assured them that God would be with them, that the Holy Spirit would fill them and guide them, even giving them the words to speak. They would not be alone. God would not abandon them. Though terrible things happen, they would be safe in God forever. In today's passage, we hear the end of this account, the final three concluding verses of this section of Matthew's Gospel. And these words affirm that Jesus is with his followers at all times. He says, "Whoever welcomes you, welcomes me." When they are welcomed by someone, Jesus is present with them in being welcomed. And when Jesus is welcomed, the one who sent him is welcomed as well. Those sent out by Jesus are sent out in the name of God. And when they are welcomed, God is welcomed. God is present with them as they go out into the world in Jesus' name to love and to care for others. Like those first 12 apostles, we too are sent out by Jesus. When we do the work that Jesus gives us to do, he is with us. When we are welcomed, he is welcomed as well. The life we live is not solitary, though we are kept apart. It is, in fact, lived in community with one another and with God. Welcome in the name and love of God is at the heart of this shared life. In today's passage, Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward." These words are meant to comfort, but how much comfort is there? What reward does a prophet receive? We see in Jeremiah how a prophet is not always welcome, how a prophet is often opposed and persecuted, even killed. Doesn't seem like there's much reward. But the prophet's reward, I think, is found in their deep relationship with God, in living connected to God's word, in discerning and responding to God's call. Though this way of life that the prophet lives can be challenging, the reward is living a life abundant with God's love. And so, as in Jeremiah's time, we also live in an age that is challenging and difficult. Like those first followers of Jesus, we are called to walk the way of the cross, to follow Jesus in humble, loving service. We are called to welcome all in his name. Let us not shrink back from our call, but instead go where God is sending us. In this time when so much has changed, so much is unsettled, let us faithfully discern where God is sending us now. Let us discern how God calls us to be the church in new ways, how God offers us new possibilities for ministry. Let us respond to the world as it is now, not as we wish it were, or hope it will be, or even remember how it was. And in everything we do, may we always trust that God is faithful. May we always believe God is present with us in the joys, but also in the challenges of this life. And let us reject those easy answers, those words that simply confirm what we want to hear, and instead look for the hard truth of God's call, that we might faithfully live as disciples of Jesus. Whatever we experience, whatever difficulties and challenges we know, the promise is that God is always with us. God's promises that we will be rewarded. And that reward is nothing short of life eternal with God in the fullness of God's reign, in that place where we will gather around the throne of the Lamb, where we will sing God's praises with all the saints for eternity. Amen.